Here. I am excited about what God is doing in this community. And by this community, I mean Calvary Gospel Church. We are a church that is a city on a hill that is shining the light of Jesus, of hope and help to everyone in our community, and we're sending disciples to reach the lost. We're doing this in a lot of different ways, whether it's our neighborhood groups or our community needs events, whether it's personal evangelism, teaching Bible studies. But one of the key ways we're doing this is, for those of you that don't know, we have four daughter works that are a part of Calvary Gospel Church that are out there working in different communities. We have Rick and Nicole are here. They're working in Waterloo at Restoration Church. Brother Fabian Martinez is in our Voces Unidas, our Spanish bilingual service, which happens right here. We have Josh and Louise Stone that are ministering in Janesville at Rock Ministries. And we have Jerry and Lindsay Simmons who are ministering in DeForest at 238 Church. So we have a campus in each one of these locations. And I think sometimes, this is just me, this is the pastor talking, I think sometimes we think, that's the outreach. Thank you, Jerry, for being the outreach for the church. Right? I don't think that's what God's called us to do. We're all supposed to be ministering with our gifts in our circle. It's not just these four people, it's all of us. And so I think sometimes there's an opportunity or we're missing the opportunity to know what God is doing and an opportunity to be a part of. And so one thing I wanted to do this year is I'm going to take four services on Wednesday nights, and we're going to have one at a time, each one of our church campuses, one of our daughter works, present what God is doing or what they're feeling in that community, and also share something with us tonight so that we can partner with them. At a minimum, we should partner with them in prayer, but maybe God puts something else on your heart. I'm not here to limit or grow that, but God is moving in these communities. And so with that, I want to have Brother Jerry come up. Brother Jerry's going to share the burden for DeForest. Brother Jerry, thank you. Share with us, brother.
I think my mic is on. Is it on yet, Chris? Help me out here. All right, we're good. How you guys doing today? I've had better days, actually. Some of you guys had some hail damage, I hear.
I missed that part.
But thank God. I did notice in DeForest, where we're trying to plant a church, I drove over there yesterday, and that place got kind of wiped out a little bit. I drove over thinking I was going to help everybody, you know, pick up branches or something, but by the time I got there, there were so many people in the roads helping, I just kind of didn't have anything to do. So I drove around until I felt like I was doing what God wanted me to do there, since I drove an hour to be there. And I ended up in the Piggly Wiggly parking lot pushing all the carts back to the cart thing. because they were all the carts in the entire Piggly Wiggly parking lot had blown across the parking lot and annihilated this nice fence in the park between the two parking lots. And I mean, those carts had just smashed them, and those carts were everywhere, and there was fence everywhere, and it was all through the parking lot. And so I was like, well, I didn't see anybody doing that, so I just got out and started pushing carts for Jesus. Amen. Sometimes you just do whatever your hands find to do. And that day, I just found some carts to push. Amen. And so, but thank you guys all for being here tonight. My name is Jerry Simmons. If you're new here, I've been around a little while, but my wife, Lindsay Simmons, and my daughter, Mayla, and Maddie are my family here. And we are planting a church in DeForest, Wisconsin. And first of all, I'd like to thank Pastor Peter. Pastor Peter has been a phenomenal support to me and my family and to 238 Church. And I can't say enough for what you've done, just conversations. They've been really great, and he's been a great pastor to me already, and I'm looking forward to the future. Amen. I'd like to thank all of our 238 Church members, and sometimes occasionally pop-ins. We've worked really hard this last year, done a lot of things, and you guys probably are showing a little bit more wear and tear, but I just want to say I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all that you do. Without you, what we've been doing up there would be kind of pointless, and it probably would be very ineffective. And maybe you feel like you're not noticed, but I promise you, I notice you. I see you, and I'm glad you're here tonight, and I thank you for your effort and your prayers and your support. Amen. We believe God has opened a door into Forest, Wisconsin, for Calvary Gospel Church to establish a strong apostolic work in the next town. Amen. 238 Church is considered a remote campus of Calvary Gospel Church, a remote campus. So say it with me, remote campus. Campus. And so I'm considered a campus pastor. Terminology seems to change every other year or two. You got church plants, daughter works, preaching points, extension works, but say it with me, campus. Campus is the word, okay? So this is the direction that we are going. It's a remote campus of Calvary Gospel Church. But it is more than just a name or a meeting location. It's a genuine effort to establish a long-lasting apostolic witness in DeForest, in the Windsor DeForest area, through covering and vision of in support of our mother church here, Calvary Gospel Church, and also our pastor, Pastor Peter Sandin, and our. I also want to thank our pastoral staff here, Pastor Phil and Jess, who also support me on a weekly basis. I just thank you for that. I want to talk a little bit about DeForest. I'm a little uncomfortable, and the reason why I'm uncomfortable is I had a visit by a police officer today. He knocked on my door, and I was working on my sermon notes and didn't have my shoes on, and I'm like, what in the world is going on? I got a police guy out here. So I get my shoes on, and I catch him as he's driving down the road, and I still have my iPad in my hand, and he's telling me about my infraction, that I had not paid my dog fee for my dogs, $10 a year. And he was out there letting me know that I needed to do that. We had a long conversation about it. While I was speaking to him, I was holding my iPad between my thumb and my finger, and I hit, obviously, some buttons that deleted all my notes. So when I got back inside, though, I didn't look at it. I just set it down because I was getting frustrated because I've been working on it all day thinking this isn't going well. And I said, you know what? I'm going to drive down to the gas station. I'm going to buy me a soda. And on the way to the gas station to buy a soda, my wife called me on her way back home from work, and she asked me how things are going. I was like, to be quite honest with you, I'm not comfortable with my notes. And she's like, oh, really? Which is kind of uncommon for me. So I got back home and messed around a little bit, and then I went back to my notes and realized the notes that I was so uncomfortable with were now gone. So I spent the next 20 minutes making these notes. And so if you're wondering why I feel a little nervous today, it's because I deleted my notes today, and I feel better about these now. So let me start by saying DeForest is a strategic field, okay? What I see in the Madison-Dane County area is a lot of agricultural land surrounding a mass of people. There's a lot of protected DNR land. There's a lot of lakes. And with all of these obstacles in the way that you wouldn't seemingly know that they're obstacles unless you're trying to find a place to live or a place to build. And so over the course of the last few years, Madison has had a decline in the amount of housing that you could buy, and which has shot the prices of housing up. And so there's also been some other issues. But at the end of the day, what is basically happening is that Madison is being kind of squeezed by the protected lands and the farmlands and the lakes and the streams and all of these things. And it's kind of squeezing, and it's squeezed out to the south about as much can happen all the way down into Janesville. It's pretty packed out. But then now there's just nothing but farmland on the highway corridor going north. And DeForest, Windsor area is seeing massive amount of pressure to grow. Now, DeForest, I would say, doesn't really want to grow. They want to stay a small town. But we'll have for some of the folks that are here in DeForest, shaking your head, small town, it's probably not going to happen. And the reason why is because people got to go somewhere, amen?
And what is happening is there's a growth rate happening in DeForest Windsor area and that surrounding area of about 3.5 to 4% annually, which is maybe doesn't sound like a lot to you, but that would be on track for being the more growth in the fastest growing state in the United States, more growth in the fastest community in Wisconsin. It's on par to be one of the fastest growing communities in our entire state, but there's no resources, there's no Walmarts, there's no Targets, there's no all of these things that you would normally see in this type of a fast-paced community growth, because really that there's no need for it. They're all going to the east side to shop, but they're breaking ground everywhere, aren't they, Brother Ripka? They're just breaking ground everywhere, building houses after house after house after house after house, and they're selling them as fast as they can build them. And the average house cost now in DeForest, because of this pressure and this squeeze and this growth, is up to about $550,000. So it's making it a little hard for me to move there, first thing. But secondly, it's an awesome opportunity to put a church, apostolic, one God, Pentecost-believing church in the community. Amen. And that's what we intend to do. The storyline of the 238 church, it started happening around 2018 in me, but I didn't realize what was going on. And if you remember, the first time I ever preached in this pulpit, I mentioned seeing the number 238 everywhere I went, and I don't know why it came out of me, and it was a weird thing to say in a pulpit, especially to a bunch of people I don't know, but I let it out, and I thought, man, that was the weirdest thing I've ever done. And then at the end of the sermon, you know, a lot of times they'll pay the guest speaker, and Sister Jess walked up to me with a check, and she goes, "We got to talk. You had a check written out directly to you." And I was like, "What is that?" And she goes, "Well, normally we wouldn't accept this, but I talked with Pastor Roy, and then he walks up, and he said, we are going to let you have this one." And I'm like, "Well, why is that?" And they said, "Because the lady that was here in the back, she wrote it out for $238, and she wanted to give it directly to you." And I thought to myself, well, Lord is doing something. And that in 2018, 2019, I didn't understand what that was. Fast forward, me being a part of the Madison Church, I kept seeing this happening in my life, and I risked all the weirdness here of telling the truth, but it's the truth, okay? It's the truth. I see 238 almost every single day in my life. I'm pretty sure it's every single day. And I see it over and over and over again, and it's just been one of those things that's been really impacting me. So about 3 years ago, I accepted a call to plant a church in the DeForest Windsor area. Another thing was happening to me at that time is I began to see a pie-shaped object in my mind north of the Madison area, and I didn't really understand what it was until I started looking at the maps and realized it was the highways that were surrounding DeForest. And so I started looking closer and closer at DeForest and realizing that God was wanting to put a church there. And it took some pretty good convincing, honestly, on God's part in a couple close calls, and then I realized it what God was trying to do. But God was leading me, so I began to research it, and I researched the area, and I looked at it, and it looked like a fine little town, and I loved, you know, everything, but I didn't know anything about it. Honestly, I was just looking at Google images and maps and things. I hadn't lived there or didn't really know anything about it. I just knew what God was trying to tell me. And so when I looked at the images on the map, God was showing me, like, the DeForest Area Park, which is called Fireman's Park. And then while I was looking at that, I felt impressed to start a Bible study at a school. And so I went online, didn't know what I was doing, and I rented the middle school, sight unseen. And in fact, I didn't even have to show up and meet anybody. I just was able to rent it on the internet. They didn't know who I was. But the rules and regulations were so affirming to any kind of group that wanted to meet there to protect their rights of anything they wanted to talk about that it protected me as well if I wanted to talk about Jesus and being baptized and all those things. And so we've started a Bible study in the middle school. I was looking for a lot of confirmations, to be quite honest with you, because I didn't have a lot of confidence in myself. I had a lot of confidence in what God was speaking to me, because I've heard him enough to have confidence in that, but I wasn't completely confident in myself, so I was looking for confirmations. And about a week later, after we started our first Bible study, I found out that Sister Neesom was employed in that school. I had no idea, and that her classroom was like one door away from the library where we were teaching, and I took that, and I took it. I can take that as a confirmation, can't I? That I felt like she was an apostolic witness in that school, and she had been praying over that school, and I decided that was a confirmation that God was really showing me that I should be starting a church there, and so we began to make application and apply to be a church in the forest. And what happened over the course of some time is that I wanted to have a service there in the church, in the school, in the middle school, but the high school called me and said, you know, we want to move you to the high school because we have a nicer facility and we can take care of you better there, and it's just way better. And while I was on the phone, the Lord put it in my spirit to say yes to whatever this man told me. And I said, yes, no problem. Sight unseen. The next Sunday, we ended up showing up to the new room that they were going to show us. I was supposed to meet this guy at a certain time, and I couldn't catch up with him, so I had to go get lunch. I came back, and he walks me into this beautiful little sanctuary that someone had built in the middle of the school that I thought, this is a great place to have church. Amen. And when I looked around, I looked up at the wall, and guess what time it was? 2:38. And I thought, I'm going to take that confirmation, Lord. It's a simple one. But I took my phone out, and I took a picture. And it wasn't very much longer. We did a little prayer walk. We were walking around the buildings, and we came up to the sign, and it said 2:38 randomly on the sign. And I thought to myself, well, that's odd. I took another picture. And I was like, I'm just going to keep on stacking up these little confirmations. If I get enough of them, I'll believe that God's calling me to plant a church here. Amen. But we started having services about once a month, about 2.5 years ago in the school. Once a month for about a year. We just did one service a month and taught a lot of Bible studies. And over the course of time, We met some new people, but what God was really impressing me in those early days and still to this day is that I don't want to just start an outreach. I don't want to just have a Bible study in this area. I don't think that God's calling me to just do a Bible study or an outreach, because those kind of come and go. What God was impressing on me was something more permanent, more established, more durable, more like a church, something that wasn't going to move or budge, and that people would know that we were a pillar in the community and that we were there to stay. And that mentality became a part of everything we did, and we began to build out our approach. So we decided if the community was having an event, they were having an event for us. If we could do anything in the community, we were going to be a part of it. And so from that point on, we did about everything we could do to be a part of the community. And the community, community, community. I think last year we went to and had presence, a booth, or we did something at a community event in DeForest about 28 times, which is 28 outreach nights for us. And the idea was this, is that we're not really there to try to grab somebody and teach them Acts 2:38. We just want them to ask the question, What is 2:38 church? And lo and behold, we get to tell them about Acts 2:38 every single time, because we named the church 2:38 church after Acts 2:38. And so our name is our identity, and our identity is the scripture, and that scripture is salvation. Amen. And so we get to tell everybody, when we tell them our identity, we get to tell them about Jesus Christ, repentance, and baptism in his name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Every single time someone asks us, why did you name it 2:38 Church? In the name of the church is the identity. And we've been able to do a lot of cool things. Sister Rachel, because I had a better presentation before I deleted it with my thumb, We're going to go through the pictures just real quickly, but this is one of the first days that we got to go out and do some outreach. We put up signs around where we have service. Right now, we're at the high school, and so at 2:38 p.m., every single Sunday, we have all of these signs out on the road and inside the building. Go to the next slide. And so this is the DeForest High School, probably one of the nicest high school's facilities I've ever seen in my life, and they treat us so well. And this is our trailer. So we roll in and we roll out. And so we have a very dedicated team that when we go into the building, we get everything completely set up for church in about 30 minutes. Next slide, please. This is a rainy day, but this is the entrance to our little church that we turned the high school into a church. You can go to the next slide. If you see that yellow room right there, do you see that on the right? So last year at the end of one of the farmers markets where we were trying to just get the word out about our church, I walked by that room to bring some tacos over to the police station that we had left over. And God impressed me. I was standing over there by that tree. There's a road right there. And God kept impressing me every time I walked by there that I needed to know something or do something right there. And I couldn't understand what it was. And so that night I got online and I tried to research what was going on. And I come to find out that that little orange room right there that was completely pitch black dark that night, I tried to look through the windows, but I couldn't see anything, but found out that I could rent that room. And so we started renting that room on Thursday nights all through the winter. We taught Bible studies in that room. Amen. That is the DeForest Village Hall. And we've had a few visitors in that. Go ahead to the next slide. During the summer, this is where we move our midweek service. This is the pavilion at the DeForest Fireman's Park. If you see that little sign down there, it says Fred and Helen Chase, but that area right there is a concession stand. And my intention was to rent all of the tables and chairs outside and have Bible studies, which we tried to do, but it was kind of chaotic. We had kids crashing our snacks and bicycle wrecks and all kinds of random dogs walking up outside. So it was an interesting time to have a Bible study. So we ended up mostly having our Bible studies actually inside of the concession stand kitchen. And so we would get 15 or about 15, sometimes up to 20 people all crammed in there elbow to elbow inside the concession stand and have Bible study. Next slide. So this is probably the majority of our core team. This is our platform. We're just sitting right in the middle of the DeForest cafeteria right here. And my wife over to the right, we only have one musician and typically one or two singers. But things are going pretty well. Next slide. There's my wife. I just need to put her in there. Next slide. We also have a coffee shop that opens at 2 o'clock every single Sunday, and we invite guests, and we have a fellowship, and we hang out and talk, and we do that a little bit after service as well. Next slide. On the Thursdays and the Tuesdays, depending on what time of the year, this is our God's Word Bible study. We did God's Word Bible study, which was just kind of a study through Revelation and a study through the book of Acts. But lately, we've been in exploring God's Word, trying to match up with Calvary Gospel Church's mission. Would you go to the next slide now? This is Sister Nancy. We're at the Fireman's Park. Now, do you see what she's handing out right there? That is a grilled corn. If you were here last year for Summer Fun Fest, we did the grilled corn. We do grilled corn at the DeForest Fireman's Park every single week. All through the summer, about 20 weeks in a row. And we go through probably 1,500 ears of corn, and we don't charge for them. We give them away, and we just have a donation bucket. And whatever people put in the donation bucket is what we take home. And believe it or not, it's been extremely profitable, and people have been very supportive, But the idea is not to make money. We're not doing it to be a fundraiser. We're doing it because this was a way that we could participate in our community. Because we don't want to be a church in DeForest. We want to be a church of the forest. Does that make sense to you? We can be in it and just ignore everybody, or we can be a church of it and we can be a part of what they're doing. Would you turn to the next slide? This is a Hummer I borrowed that we used for the 4th of July parade, and we've been in a couple. Last year, we gave out 5,000 pieces of candy, and just being a part of the community. You can go to the next slide. And this is the pamphlet. That's our guest booth when people walk into our makeshift church made out of a cafeteria, where people can come and be a part of our church, or they can sign up and be a part of it. Last few months, we baptized two people, I believe, in the last 4 months in Jesus' name. And we've had plenty of visitors come and go. I would say it's not growing as fast as I'd like it to, but even if we had 100 or so in there, I would say it's not growing as fast as I would like it to. So I'm not disappointed. I'm just saying I want it to go better and grow faster, amen? But in Jesus' name, amen. Would you mind doing me a favor? We've run out of time. I've talked too much, but would you mind doing me a favor? Would you mind going through a little list of prayers for me that I have, I want to bring before you? I want to pray that, I want to pray for a few things. I want to pray for favor in DeForest at the school district level. We have made friends with every person that we can find to make friends with. I want to pray for favor with the village leaders. I'm in the village hall as much as I possibly can, meeting new people. I want you to pray for favor with business leaders. I'm recently joined the Chamber of Commerce, and I'm a business ambassador, so I get a call the 250 or so businesses and let them know. My name is Jerry Simmons. I'm your Chamber of Commerce business ambassador, and everyone knows that if you're a business ambassador, you're also tied to some other business, so they always wonder what I'm doing. And I get to say, I'm just here at 238 Church. I'm the pastor. If you guys need anything, just get in touch. But this is a way for us to meet and greet. Would you pray for favor in that area for community? And I would ask you also to pray for fair weather. When we don't own the building, we are dependent on good weather. And so a bad weather day on outreach can ruin a whole week for us. And so would you pray that we have good weather? Would you pray that we have open doors? Would you pray for fruitful outreach? Would you pray that the hearts of this region would be prepared for harvest? Because right now I feel like they're welcoming us, but they don't know the gospel. They're not prepared for God. Would you pray for that? Would you pray that they be prepared for, that we would be prepared to also for that same harvest, that we would be ready for it in Jesus' name? Would you also pray that God would give us some direction concerning a permanent building and a ministry base? We don't have to do a permanent building, but it would be more comfortable to not have to set up a church and then rush right into preaching a sermon. But it's not necessary. It's just something we need leading of the Lord up for, amen? Would you pray that God would give us wisdom and direction and provision and strength for the next step? Would you pray for that for us? Would you pray for DeForest? Would you pray for the 55,000 people in the 8-mile radius of DeForest? It seems crazy to say, but that's the truth. 55,000 people in the 8-mile radius. It's not the signs that are out in front of Windsor and out in front of DeForest and out in front of all of these neighborhoods are not covering the amount of people that are in the radius. The radius is serving, like DeForest High School serves Sun Prairie, it serves North Madison, it serves just the high school is serving 24,000 people in that local area. And so I would like for you to please pray for those things. And then I got 2 minutes. So I'm going to preach the fastest two-minute sermon you've ever seen in your life. Are you ready? Would you stand with me? Mark 1 and 38, it says this, "But he said to them, let us go to the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." Jesus' purpose in his ministry was to go from town to town to town to town, from town to town to town to town for 3 years, preaching the gospel and the kingdom come. Matthew 9:35, it says this, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest." This was the clarion cry of Jesus Christ. He had all of heaven's resources in his hand. He had all authority in his hand. He could do anything he wanted to, but he had one gigantic need, and that was for more laborers. I want you to understand, if Jesus was here right now and he could ask you for one thing, he would ask you, will you be a part of the harvest? Will you be a part of the church? Will you be a part of what I am doing? Will you be a part of what I am preaching? Will you be a part of the people I'm trying to reach? Will you be a part of my mission? Will you be a part of my vision? He would ask you right now, would you be a part? I promise you right now, if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, you have ever spoken tongues, that God has you in his sights. He has a purpose for your life. He wants you to be a part of his mission. He wants you to be a witness. He wants you to have power. He wants you to reach the lost. He wants you to preach Bible, teach. He wants you to teach Bible studies. He wants you to witness in your school. And you're looking at me like, why are you trying to do all this in 2 minutes? Because that's all the time I have. But I want you to know something else, that the time is running out for this world. I have 2 minutes now, but this world may not have 2 minutes to go. Jesus is coming back, and hell is real, and heaven is for them. If they don't hear about it, how will they know? You are called. You are filled. You are empowered. And you are ready to do it. God has given this church blessing upon blessing. You got a pastoral staff that's supporting you. There is no reason not to be a part of what Jesus is doing in the next town and in this town. Did you realize that every single church that you have ever stepped foot in started just like the ridiculous story I just told? Somebody by faith trying to figure things out, bumping and tripping and just trying to figure things out, and mistakes are made and they don't know exactly what to do, and then they figure things out, they figure it out, and they figure it out. But the thing that is really the most impressive thing about it is that all the churches from millennial, from centuries, all the way from the book of Acts to now, has started the same way. Just walking into a town and asking questions and hoping someone asks, why did you name it 238 Church? You are capable. You can do this. You can do it right here at CGC. You can do it right at your work. You can do it right at your school. But I want you to know something. Jesus is really good at answering questions. If you keep questioning Jesus, I found out something about the way that he answers. Sometimes he ignores your question. John chapter 3, John chapter 4, Nicodemus, woman at the well, same issues, different ends of the spectrum of people, ask questions. But what did Jesus do? He told them the answers they wanted, that he needed them to hear. He didn't waste time with answering questions that really didn't have any pertinence. And I want you to understand something right here as we have this altar call. I'm going to have Pastor Peter come and pray with us and lead us. But if you keep on asking the questions to Jesus that aren't going to get you to the purpose that he has for you, he's going to give you the answers that you are not ready to hear. But tonight, would you do me a favor? Listen to what you're hearing. Don't just focus on all the questions you have about what God wants to do with you. Listen, just be quiet, and listen to what he's saying. He's saying, I filled you, I called you, I want to use you, and you are capable. He's saying you're ready, and there's little time. He's saying that if we can do anything right now, we just need to pray for more laborers. Would you just do that for a moment? Would you just lift your hands to the Lord? Would you just pray for more laborers? Jesus.
Hallelujah. God, we submit to you today. Church, I feel like sometimes we think that it's somebody else's job to teach people about Jesus. It's the Vernons. They travel all around the country. You go teach people about Jesus. We'll give some money, but I'm going to stay here. We think it's Jerry's job or the pastor's job to tell people about Jesus. And we hide behind the excuses that I'm not a pastor and I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be a pastor or a preacher to come along somebody beside somebody that's fishing. You don't got to be a pastor or a preacher to be with somebody at a grocery store. You don't got to be a pastor or a preacher to push grocery carts back into the lane. God is calling us out of this building to the next town, Jerry, to the next town. And maybe he's not calling you to McFarland or Marshall or Waterloo. I don't know, but I believe he's calling you to the people in your circle to show them his love, to be a witness, to share your story. Derek, why are you always smiling, man? Why are you happy? Why are you called 238? Because Jesus impacted my life. We're supposed to share the love of Jesus. I want to encourage us. Can we come down to the front? Can we, if you want to commit, God, I want to follow your will. You're not committing to start a church. You're saying, God, I want to follow you. I want to follow your calling in my life. Let's come down and pray as a church. Hallelujah. God, I submit to your will in my life. Whatever it may be, whoever it may be, whatever circle it is, God, I want to listen. And I encourage you, ask questions, like Jerry said. Ask questions. He will answer them. He will show you. He will point to you the next city, the next person, the next need. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, we submit to you tonight. God, I submit to the work you want to do in my life. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in my life. In my family's life. God, help me not to walk past the needs anymore, looking down at my problems. Help me to look up at the harvest, God. Hallelujah. God, I need you. God, I believe you have empowered us for this season, for this time, because you are coming back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, direct us. Give us wisdom. Hallelujah. That's right. Just speak to God tonight.
Your desires free. Jesus, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
God is doing something in our hearts, church. I've been talking to so many of you. God is doing a work in our hearts, in this place. I'm not coming up here to stop us. I want us to have everybody that's involved in this DeForest Church to come to the front right now. If you are involved, if you have helped Brother Zimmerman, the Repkas, Brother Jerry and Brother are already getting a head start. Can you come up to the front? We're a family. This is a church that Calvary Gospel Church is working to start in DeForest. Come on up to the front. Lindsay, did I lose you? Brother Jerry, Brother Ben, come on over. You can help us. Can we have the church? I want us all to gather around them. We're not going to remember the whole list. Some of you wrote it down. But can we pray over them? I want to pray, number one, that God imparts faith into this church. That's what I want to do. Let's gather around us and parts faith into these people. Come on, Tim, get in there. Get in there. You're all a part of this. We want to pray for favor. Pray what's on your mind for this church. Let's get in together.
God, Lord, we pray over this group, Lord, these leaders. We pray over this church, God. Lord, I believe there are souls in DeForest that you want to save, that you want to speak to, that you want to deliver, that you want to heal, that you want to help, that you want to show hope to, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, over these people. I pray, Lord, that you would give them an anointing. Lord, I pray that you would give them favor wherever they walk in this community. God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you're calling, Lord, that you would draw people to them as they lift you up, as they meet needs, God, as they go to the next town, God, Lord, let your spirit guide them. Lord, draw the people, Lord, that are going to build this church. Draw the people you have called, God. Lord, we submit to you and your